Gospel of Matthew, if you would, this morning, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 18. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 18. For a good while, we've been looking in the Gospel of Matthew, mainly on Wednesday nights. But the last few weeks, we've been looking on Sunday morning. God's been dealing with our hearts about some thoughts. Matter of fact, the thought that we're going to bring today, God's been dealing with my heart about over several weeks. And so I know it's just exactly where we need to be today. And no doubt there's some folks here this morning that need this very message that God's placed upon my heart for this hour. And I want us to be attentive. And I want you to let God speak to you today and then be obedient as God speaks and moves in the service today. Let me do one more item of business before we get in to the Word of God this morning. We've not had a chance to do some of our February anniversaries, and we want to do that this morning before I preach. Brother Ronnie and Miss Debbie had an anniversary, I believe it was on the 9th. Ronnie said it's the 9th or 10th, one of those. So I think we concluded it was the 9th. And how many years, Brother Ronnie? 29 wonderful years. All right, guys, congratulations to them. And then Jerry and Debbie Miller, and they're not here today. We'll have to get them when they're able to be here. And then Brian and Heather Hutchins will be celebrating on the 21st. How many years, Brother Brian? 15. All right. That's wonderful. 15. And then Keith and Debbie Wayne will be on the 25th. How many, Brother Keith? 24. All right. That's wonderful. And then James and Janice Bowling on the 26th. Is Janice here this morning? Yeah, here she is. How many years? 26. All right. That's wonderful. So congratulations to all the folks that are celebrating anniversaries and birthdays. It's also a pretty busy month for birthdays. And so congratulations to all of you, and I hope your special day is very special, and you celebrate it, thanking God for all these many blessings he's bestowed upon us. Matthew chapter number 18 this morning. Let's drop down in verse number 11. Just going to read verses 11, 12, 13, and 14 this morning. Now, last Sunday morning, the Lord came by, and my, what a wonderful service we had. And then on Sunday night, we preached out of chapter 18, the first 10 verses. And especially out of verse number 4 is where verse number 3 is where we took our text last Sunday evening, and where Jesus told them, except you be converted. He talked about humility and a lot of things, and we're not going to go back and preach on that, but of course talking about the children and different things, and we see that extended now in these verses that we're going to look at in this morning. And if I had a thought or a title that I want to leave with you today, and I want you to consider in your heart this morning out of Matthew 18 and verses 11 through 14, I want you to think about this thought. How important is one? How important is one? Now, I think it was last year we preached a series of sermons on the shepherd and the sheep. And we brought the sheep out and preached through several messages of that. And we used, I think, in Luke, the parable there. Now, some theologians and some commentators think that these two parables are the same, some not. That's not what I'm interested in this morning. I'm interested in this thought. How important is one? Now, I want you to think about that as you consider your own relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you have one with him or whether you do not this morning. I want you to understand something in the text today. How important is one? I want to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand this morning, and if you're not, that's okay. Matthew 18, starting in verse number 11. Notice Jesus again is continuing his conversation there with his disciples. And, of course, the question had been asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, as you come to the first part of this chapter. And then that's where Jesus talks about except you be converted and talks about humility. Well, also, now in verse number 11, he gives them this statement. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And thank God for that. Then notice in verse number 12. Then he's going to do an illustration here for his disciples. And certainly they could grasp this great illustration. And certainly I pray that you and I can grasp it as well. And see the picture this morning. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep. Now notice this. And one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh, now notice that word, and seeketh that which is gone astray. And if it so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more. Now notice that. He rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, notice in verse 14, even so it is not the will, notice that, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven. Now notice again, that one of these little ones should perish. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again this morning to thank you, Father, for another day. Lord, on this side of eternity, thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. And thank you for this great privilege to be back in your house this morning. And thank you for this good number, Lord, that's made their way out, out to the house of God. Thank you for the teaching of the word of God. Thank you for the beautiful singing. And thank you for your precious word. Now, Lord, I praise your servant as I stand in this place. Father, where no man can stand alone, I pray, Father, God, that you'd anoint me with fresh oil. I pray you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. I pray this morning, God, that every ear and every heart will be open and receptive under the preaching of the word of God. There's no doubt, folks, here this morning, Lord, that need this very message. And I pray, oh, God, today that you just work among us now. Have your will and your way in our hearts and our lives, especially that one that may be here today lost and undone without you. God, I pray this morning you'd convict them and draw them. Lord, this very hour they'd come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, someone that's cold and indifferent. Lord, whatever the need this morning, God, I just pray that he, the Holy Ghost of God, now will work among us. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. I pray, God, you take over charge of this service right now. God, help us to be attentive. Help us to be obedient. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Have you ever thought about the importance of the number one or just being one? A lot of times this morning we focus on great numbers and big numbers, and certainly we understand that this morning. But have you ever thought about the importance of one? Well, I believe Jesus illustrates that here this morning in this text that's before us. I want you to know something today. You are important as that one today. And I pray this morning that God will help you to see that. Sometimes I do think we neglect to consider how important the number one is. If you think about it this morning in sports, it just takes one more point than your opponent to win. Just one more point. Now we think about the big numbers, but if you just win by one point, you win. I thought about not only in sports, but I thought about also in weather. It only takes 1 degree. It only takes 1 degree. When I left home this morning, it was 33 degrees. One more degree, and it would have been freezing. So one's pretty significant this morning. Only takes one more point to win. Only takes one more degree to bring the temperature to freezing where things start freezing up. Isn't that amazing, the importance of one? But I thought about not only that today. I'm thinking about analogies and illustrations to get our minds set upon what God wants us to see today. And not only in sports or in weather, but also today in life, each of us are just one heartbeat away from eternity. I want you to consider that day. We're just one heartbeat away from eternity, from going out into eternity. Just one heartbeat from eternity. And today in our text this morning, Jesus illustrates just how important one is to him. We think about large numbers, as we said this morning, but his thought is on that one. Especially this morning, if you are that one. I want you to see that today as we come down to the text of the Word of God this morning. And I pray that you'll listen this morning and open up your ears and open up your heart, because you may be the very one that God is seeking after and looking after this morning. Now, as we come to this text today, I want you to understand now, and we're going to start back up in verse number 11, and I want to give you some thoughts out of each of these verses this morning that I pray will be a help to us today and help us to consider this morning the importance of that one. And today I want you to think about, first of all, as we come now to the Word of God today, first of all in verse number 11, I want you to see the Savior's cause. The Savior's cause. And he gives that to us here in verse number 11. He says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. That was the Savior's cause. And here he reminds his disciples, and he reminds you and I once again this morning that was his very cause for coming unto this world. Hey, listen, he performed miracle after miracle. And let me say this morning, he still performs miracles. Why? Because he's a miracle-performing God, and God's able today, and I'm very thankful for that. But friend, the greatest miracle I believe that God does in this day and hour in which you and I live is to save that which was lost, because that's the very reason that he left the portals of glory and come down to this low land of sin and sorrow and lived a perfect sinless life for 33 and a half years and went to the cross of Calvary and bled, died, and suffered so that you and I could be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Do you remember the time when you were the one? Do you remember that time when God come to where you were at and let you realize that you were the one that he was speaking to that day? The building may have been full and it may not have been full, but friend, you knew under the preaching of the Word of God or whatever circumstance it was that God was dealing with your heart, and you were that day. You were the one that God come seeking after. You are the one that God came looking for. I don't know about you, but I can remember that day. And I thank God for that day that he came looking and seeking after me. Nobody else, as far as I know, that day got gloriously born again. But could I say this morning, that day, that specific day, he came looking for me. Can anybody rejoice with me in the fact that one day you were that one that he came seeking after? Could I say, not only in salvation today, but I believe there's two applications to this text. Not only to save that which is lost, but then he talks about that one that goes astray. Oh my. Boy, I want you to get the picture. Here he's talking about that one that would go astray. What does he do? The Bible says he would leave that 99 and he would go looking for that one that had went astray. Now I want you to think about it. You say, preacher, I would never do that. I wouldn't say that. Most of us here this morning, if we be honest before the Lord, there's been times that we have strayed in our Christian life. And aren't you glad that, hallelujah, aren't you glad this morning that he just didn't let you keep wandering and wandering and wandering? Aren't you glad that he came seeking after you? I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad that one is important unto the Master today. I want you to notice some things. First of all, that the Savior's cause. And the Savior's cause again this morning is simply this one word, two words, to save. I wrote down in my notes, glory. Could I say it again? Glory. Let me go over on this side and try. Glory. Hey, man. He came to save that which was lost. Let me give you some thoughts about that this morning. The Savior's cause. The word save, as you well know, as we've have explained many times, it means to deliver, it means to protect, it also means to make whole. And certainly that's what the Savior came to do. That was his cause, again, to save this morning. And so we need to understand that that's his cause. You say, well, preacher, why did he come to save? Well, I'm glad you asked me. First of all, I thought about the depravity of mankind. The depravity of mankind. In other words, this morning we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this morning, man's not getting better. Man is getting worse. Why? Because of sin. And so we see the depravity of mankind. And let me say something about this depravity of mankind. We can't save ourselves. We can't redeem ourselves. This morning, the only way that we can be saved and redeemed is because of the Savior's cause. This morning, His willingness to come and search out that one. Now notice this morning, I thought about man's depravity of mankind. Again, the inability for man to save himself. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses 12 and 13, let me give them to you. That at that time, Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus and referring, of course, to the household of Israel and to the Gentiles. Notice what he says in chapter number 2, verses 12 and 13. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope. That's where we were at, having no hope and without God in the world. But then verse number 13 goes on and tells us this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one that came searching for one today, my friend. The Savior's call today is to save. And if you're here this morning without Christ, I want you to understand, He came so that you today could hear this message and realize that you may be that very one that He wants to save and redeem, and you can be born again even this very day. Preacher, I don't need to be saved. According to the Bible, all of us need to be saved. Why? Because of the depravity of mankind. I thought about not only the depravity of mankind under the Savior's cause this morning, but I thought about the destiny of mankind. The destiny of mankind. Realize today, friend, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. You are an eternal being. Why? Because you were first of all made in the image and the likeness of God. And then when God created man, Adam there, and put him in the garden and breathed in his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul, understand that breath that you have, that life that you have is eternal. You're going to live somewhere for all eternity. And Jesus came because of the depravity of mankind, all the way back to the book of Genesis, all the way through the Old Testament, making the promises and the prophecies of the one that would come. Here Jesus stands before him and lets him know that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Why? Because of the depravity of mankind and because of the eternal destination of mankind. You understand today, friend, you can't go to heaven without Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I'm hoping, and unfortunately we live in an area where some people think, well, I'm hoping that my good works will outweigh my bad works or my bad things. And at the end of the day, God's going to look at that and say, well, that's good enough. Friend, that's not good enough, because we were depraved. We're sinners today in need of a Savior, and our destination was going to be eternally separated from God. But Jesus stepped out on the scene, and boy, I'm glad that He did. Thank God Jesus stepped out on the scene. Why? To come and find that one that's lost and undone. That one may be you today, so that you don't have to be eternally separated and be in a Christless eternity. How sad that would be today, my friend. But understand, since we've been in this service this morning, they've been people that has went out into a Christless eternity. And you don't have to, you see. Why? Because Jesus came to seek. That was His cause. That was His cause then. That is His cause today. That'll be His cause tomorrow. Friend, I'm telling you this morning, that's the reason He came, because of the depravity of mankind and the destination, the destiny, the eternal destination of mankind. You can't be saved without Him. I can't emphasize that enough. You and I cannot be saved and go to heaven without Jesus. Well, what's so special about heaven, preacher? You don't want to miss it. Listen, all the wonderful things is going to be there, but friend, most of all, to be eternally separated from a God that loves us, from a God that has done so much to redeem us and save us. But see, He leaves the choice up to us. He can't make us be saved. He can't. Notice now, He even lets us know in this text this morning, He comes seeking. But let's understand, He's given us an illustration. It's up to us whether or not we receive Him. Now notice this morning in the Savior's calls, we see the depravity of mankind, we see the destiny of mankind. But then thirdly, and I'll move on quickly, we see the divine intervention. We see divine intervention that God Himself, God the Father and God the Son, before the foundation of the world was ever laid, that God divinely intervened so that you and I could be saved today. We see the Savior's call secondly this morning. Not only want you to see the Savior's cause, but I want you to see the Savior's compassion. The Savior's compassion. Again, this morning, as we look at the text that we've read before you today, we can see well at work the Savior's compassion. First of all, in His compassion, what He's illustrating some seem to think a parable and others just teaching here, but here, this morning, that's not what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on what He's trying to illustrate, what He's trying to teach us, and what He's trying to show us. First of all, in His compassion, I want you to see the wandering sheep. The wandering sheep. Now, again, He's in the entirety of this text, and I don't want to take enough context of what God's saying here. He's talking about the children, the little ones. Of course, we also might know by the writing of John in those small epistles, he's referring to even the children of God as little children, right? So this morning, I believe there is two great applications here in this text, as I've already said. Again, I believe it's to the lost. I believe it can be also to those that would go astray. And to the children, we know this morning if a child departs this world this morning before it reaches that age of accountability, it goes home to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I believe that's what the Bible teaches us this morning. But when they reach that age of accountability, when they begin to know right from wrong, and God begins to deal with our heart and let them know that He wants to save them and redeem them, then they also have the responsibility this morning to get right with Him. But notice this morning, here in this text, that not only does He show us this morning, He shows us the Savior's compassion. He not only shows us His cause, but He shows us His compassion. Notice the wandering sheep. Notice again the word that's used in verse number 12. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? First of all, as you think about that word astray and the wandering sheep, it means to cause to roam. Have you ever roamed any? Everybody all right? Everybody awake? Everybody good? You ever roamed? I think most of us today, if we'd be just real right honest with our Savior this morning and ourselves, we'd have to say there's probably some times, Lord, I have kind of went astray. And you might be that very, I don't know who God placed this message here for this morning. All I know is God placed it on my heart. And I want you to listen. You may be that one that has roamed away, that has went astray in your relationship to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in your responsibilities to Him this morning, maybe in responsibilities to your family, maybe in responsibilities to your church, maybe in responsibility to your children. Listen, I don't know today. I'm just trying to help you with the Word of God. You may be that one And I want you to know today, God's not giving up on you. That's what I'm here to tell you. That's what Jesus is so wonderfully illustrating here in this text. I'm glad that He doesn't give up on us. That word this morning, astray, it means to cause to roam. It means to cause to err. It also can mean to wander or to be out of the way, or if you will, maybe in our terminology, to lose your way. Have you ever lost your way? I think this morning the most of us would have to say, preacher, you know, there have been times that I've kind of lost my way in my spiritual life. I'm glad that this morning it's not about religion, but it's about a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I begin to roam, when you and I begin to get out of the way, aren't you glad? If we don't, thank God, if we're not seeking after Him, aren't you glad today He comes seeking after you and me? So here this morning we find, in the Savior's compassion, we find the wandering sheep. I think about the story of the prodigal in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke. How the prodigal had wandered and how he went off and left his father. And even though we don't find a picture of that of the father going out and searching for him, we find the father there patiently waiting for his return. I'm telling you today, friend, if we're not careful, we'll wander, we'll astray from where God wants us to be this morning. But I'm glad that He'll come seeking after that one. We find the wandering of the sheep. Secondly, we find the watchfulness of the shepherd. The watchfulness of the shepherd. In other words, we find here the picture that Jesus gives us and illustrates as a shepherd. And we've talked about that before, how important those sheep was and how that shepherd would watch after those sheep. And he would know the sheep by name. And he just knew all about their personalities and all those kind of things. And we find the watchfulness of the shepherd. Now let me say this right here. You may have strayed and you think nobody knows nothing about it. Huh? You may have erred and you think nobody else knows anything about it. But notice the watchfulness of the shepherd. He's watching the 100 sheep. He, again, just illustrates that for us. He's watching that 100 sheep, and all of a sudden, there's one missing. There's one out of place. There's one where it should be, but it's not. Y'all following me? That one sheep is supposed to be with the 99, but he's wandered off. But notice the watchfulness of the shepherd. Maybe the rest of the sheep don't even realize it. They probably don't. As we've done our study on sheep, you know, they're not the smartest animal in the yard. That'll build our egos up real good this morning. The rest of the sheep didn't even realize the other sheep was gone. But the shepherd, hallelujah, I'm talking about the good shepherd. I'm talking about the chief shepherd. I'm talking about the great shepherd. He knew just exactly where to go look and find that one. Why? Because that one is important to the shepherd. Does Satan ever make you try to feel like that you're not important? That you're not significant? That nobody else knows where you're at, what you're going through? There's nobody else knows, preacher. Oh, yes, there's one. I may not know, and your family may not even know, but could I say this morning, I'm glad that the shepherd and the watchfulness of the shepherd, he knows just exactly where you are. Not only does he know where you are, he knows what you need. And I want you to understand something this morning. We find the wandering sheep, but we find the watchfulness of the Savior. One is missing, and that one is important. It's important enough that He gives us the illustration. And listen, a shepherd never leaves his sheep. Get a hold of that. The shepherd, under almost no circumstance, if you ever get a hold of this, somebody will shout. Under no circumstances will that shepherd ever leave those sheep. But Miss Debbie, something's wrong with one of them. One of them has went astray. One of them has walked away. One of them has varied off of where he needs to be. And so he gives us a picture of that shepherd going and leaving those 99 and saying those 99 will be okay until I go find that one. That's the watchfulness of the shepherd. The wandering of the sheep, the watchfulness of the shepherd. But then I want you to see the will of the shepherd. Again, don't miss this. You could also say the work of the shepherd if you would like. Notice, first of all, he goes seeking after one. I think about the effort. I think about the patience. I think about the concern as the shepherd goes to seek after that one. Have you ever been that one? That he come even when you'd went astray. Even when you'd walked away, he comes seeking after you. Notice, not only do I see God, he goes seeking, the shepherd goes seeking after the one, but then not only does he go seeking, but he goes to secure the one. Y'all with me? He don't get out there on the side of the mountain and begin to beat that sheep in the head. If you remember, the Gospel of Luke gives us a picture of him laying it up on his shoulders. Hallelujah. Hey, that sheep's probably already in bad enough shape from wandering off from the fold. He's hungry. He's tired. He could be wounded. See, that's what happens when you leave the shepherd. Oh my, don't miss it. That's what happens when you wander away from the shepherd. You get tired, you get weary, you get hungry, you can get wounded, you can get dirty. I mean, all the things that can happen to that sheep when it wanders away from the fold. See, that shepherd keeps them in a place where they have food and they have water and they have protection. But when he gets out there by himself, if he's not careful, the wolves will come and devour him. I mean, he's in trouble. But the shepherd, thank God, doesn't leave him like that. He goes to seek him out, and not only does he seek him out, he goes to secure that sheep and bring him back to the fold. Notice that's what he illustrates so wonderfully here before us this morning. He goes to secure the sheep. Notice in verse 13, and so be that he find it. Now listen, that shepherd in those Judean hills may not have been able to find every sheep, but I want to tell you something, our shepherd can find every sheep. And this morning it's up to you whether you come to him tonight, come to him and do what he's bidding your heart to do. If it's to be saved, then friend, it's up to you. If it's to get back right with God, get back in the fellowship that you need to be with him and his people and your faithfulness, it's up to each and every one of us. But the will of the shepherd this morning is not only to seek, but it's also to secure. And then I thought about this in the will of the shepherd. Not only does he go seeking, not only does he secure, but thirdly, we see the shout of the shepherd. You say, preacher, where do you see that? Well, look back in verse 13. And so be that he find it. Verily I say unto you, he rejoices. Now, boy, I really meditate on this a while. He rejoiceth more. You see it? Now, he's not wanting anybody to go astray. Don't misunderstand me. Certainly not wanting anybody to perish, and we'll get into that in a minute. But notice this. He rejoiceth more. Do you see it? Look in your Bible. He rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Now, buddy, that's kind of hard to get a hold of, isn't it? All the other sheep stayed just exactly where they're supposed to be. And the one goes astray. Boy, the shepherd goes out there and he finds it. And the Bible says he rejoiceth more. Well, I begin to think about that. You know, there's a lot of people that went astray in their life. And they think they're all washed up. And they think that God doesn't love them anymore. And they think that God can't use them anymore. Fooey! Somebody get a hold of that in a minute. You're all washed up. You walked away. You went astray. And therefore, God can't use you. And God don't love you. And all this other mess. Well, according to this text this morning, and the picture that it's showing us, you might go astray, but that doesn't keep the shepherd from loving you. That doesn't keep the shepherd from searching after you. That doesn't keep the shepherd, when he does find you, rejoicing of the fact that he's brought you back into the fold. I'm telling you this morning, thank God you don't have to sit on the bench of do nothing. God's been too good. God's brought us too far. And friend, if God's forgiven you and God loves you today, God can and will use you this morning. Yeah. Notice. The Savior's compassion. I see the wandering sheep. I see the watchfulness of the shepherd. And I see the will of the shepherd. He's seeking. He secures. And we see the shout. So we have before us this morning the Savior's cause. He comes to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's all of us. But then he shows us the Savior's compassion on that one that goes astray. And he lets us know. Now listen, that doesn't give us a license to go out and live like we want to. You can't be saved and live like you want to. If you can be saved and live like you want to and live like the world and there's no correction, if there's no chastisement, if there's no conviction, then friend, there's something wrong with what you call salvation. God saves to change. But then sometimes we go astray. Now God's not going to leave us out there in that wilderness on the side of that mountain. He's going to come looking for us. And he's come looking for you this morning. The question is this. Will you submit and surrender to the shepherd? Or will you keep going astray? Now his cause is to save. His compassion is to reach out. I think about those disciples. And man, they just messed up time after time after time. But you know what Jesus done? He just kept working with them. He just kept working. Think about old Peter. Man, before the cock crew thrice, he'd done denied him three times. I mean, he'd done denied him and went out and wept bitterly. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches, and 3,000 get saved. I guess old Peter today could relate to this message. He wasn't washed up. God wasn't done with him. And he's not done with you. I see his compassion. I see his cause. But thirdly, I see the conclusion. Look, if you will, in verse 14. Jesus himself speaking now. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one, there's that number again, that one, say that with me, that one, say it with me again, that one of these little ones should perish. Do you understand today, friend, it's not God's will? It's not God's will. It's not God's will for you to perish without God. It's not God's will for you to perish and die out of the will of God. Let me give you this verse, this great verse of Scripture, and I'm done. In the Savior's conclusion, let me say this morning. One makes a difference to the Savior. One makes a difference to the Savior. My question again, are you that one? 2 Peter 3:9. I quote the last part of this scripture often in my preaching because I think it's very important that people get it and realize it. 2 Peter 3:9 gives us this great verse of scripture. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, let me say it one more time, that all might come to repentance. Let me say this in closing. If you die in your sin, and you go out into a Christless eternity, you have no one to blame but yourself. Preacher, that's pretty harsh. I'm just putting her on the line this morning. Which that's the way I pretty much just put her on the line. And you're going to die. Now, the rapture is going to come, but if you don't get right with God, you're going to be left to go through the tribulation and the great tribulation. I don't have time to preach on all that this morning. I'm preaching on the book of Revelation on Wednesday night if you won't come. Well, that went pew. Did you hear that, Miss Wynn? It went pew. But if you leave this world in your sin, then you will die and perish without God and go to an awful place called hell. Preacher, I don't believe it's real. Well, you can believe whatever you want to. It's real. Just ask the rich man. It's real. But you don't have to go there because there's a shepherd that loves you and you can be saved. Then also for the Christian this morning, a lot of times we get caught up if we could get, boy, this number and that number to come. And listen, I like to see the pews full and house of God full just as much as anybody. But what we need to be interested in is that one. That one. We've been going for weeks and weeks and weeks, the Good News Club. Nothing. Nothing, Miss Debbie. We're just going and sowing the seed. I won't say nothing, but we're just going and sowing the seed. Going and sowing the seed. Well, this past Thursday, it took root. You say, preacher, what do you mean it took root? Had a little girl, second grader, Miss Joe. Counseled with Miss Debbie. And just as simple as that little gal knew how to do, she just asked Jesus to forgive her and to come into her heart and save her. Amen. You say, preacher, you think she got saved? Well, if she asked him, she did. See, you got to go after the one. And that should teach us this morning. Just go after the one. Go after the one. Go after the one. Numbers will take care of themselves. But then thirdly this morning, to that one that might have gone astray. Before I close this morning, I want you to know this. He knows exactly where you're at. And he's come to where you are at. And he is seeking after you this morning. He wants to secure you and help you to clean you up, to bind you up, to heal your wounds. See, there are a lot of wounded people today. Old devil's just wounded them and beat them to death. Well, I'll tell you what, he heals. Does the Bible not say something by his stripes? We are healed. You don't have to live defeated. How important is one? Well, let me say it like this. If you're that one, it's pretty doggone important. And it's important to the Savior. Where do you stand with Him today? Are you saved? Are you living right? Are you doing right? Or have you went astray? If you had, come on back. He's seeking you right now. And He'll even rejoice with you. He'll rejoice with you. He rejoiceth more. Because He got you back in the fold. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scott, if you've got a song of invitation. Father, I realize today, Father, that, Lord, I've not even scratched the surface of the greatness of this text. But, Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of this service. And Satan certainly has tried to hinder today. There's no doubt about that. He's tried to hinder me. But Lord, I thank you for grace, and I thank you for the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray right now in the stillness of this service, as the shepherd's out seeking that one, I pray we'd be still. I pray we'd be attentive. I pray our ears and our hearts are open. And I pray as this invitation is given that whoever it might be, that Father, they'd come. If there's one here lost today, Father, I pray. Oh, God, convict them and draw them because that's your cause. But then, Lord, let us see your compassion for those that might have went astray. That one that feels like everybody's given up on. But I'm glad you hadn't given up. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you'd move now in the midst. I pray we'd be obedient and submissive. God, you work. I pray we'd be obedient. And it's in Christ's name. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed, as we play.